Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Mr. Davis, and little change in lineup from the usual pairing because the other one's dead to me. It's Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hello, yes. Thank you for inviting me, Mr. Davis, on this AEW review. Happy to be here. Happy to fill in, I guess.
That's great.
So, yeah.
That's great. Well, yeah. Should we hop into the show and then we can get into some correspondence after?
Yes,
it's a good show,
for sure.
And I want to talk about it.
Yes, let's do that. First up on the show, we're going to be talking about the most shocking thing. Did Adam Page just turn heel? I genuinely don't know the answer, but we're going to talk about it on the show. Here we go.
For heel turns, there's been Tommaso Ciampa turning heel. Did Hangman Page turn heel last night? We all bloody know Roman Reigns turned heel. That's all I can think of in terms of wrestling heel turns that happened this week. I'm Mr. Davis, and I'm joined by the one, the only, huge AEW fan, Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hello. Hi. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Davis, for inviting me to do AEW. Now, this is... Yep. It's good.
Good show. It's a great show. Usually you review SmackDown.
That's true. I mean, I still will review SmackDown. But yes, no, this was a very good show. Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed myself while I watched it today. So
excellent. Well, yes, I give people what they want. So our main discussion point before we get into the full play-by-play is just the latest twist in, for my money, the best story going on in wrestling, which is the continued self-destruction of the Elite. Not just Hangman Page, but the entire faction, really. It's been going on since January when Kenny Omega and Hangman Page won the tag team titles from SCU. And ever since then, they've been feuding with each other, feuding with the Young Bucks. Then you bring FTR into the mix and they start to get into Hangman Page's head. Hangman Page is caught in the middle and you kind of, initially you felt sympathy for the guy, bit of empathy for the guy. You know, he's grown away from these friends of his. Omega looks like he's being an out-and-out heel. And then it gets to a point last night in this tag team gauntlet match, which opened the show. Young Bucks start off against the Nightmare Family. Easy. Young Bucks beat them. Then out comes the Best Friends. We're like, okay, well, I know what's happening here. Young Bucks are going to go through them as well. But Hangman Page grabs hold of, I think it was Matt Jackson's hand before he can get to Nick Jackson, who was being rolled up. The Young Bucks are eliminated, and then the Best Friends were quickly beaten by FTR. So FTR will now face Omega and Page at All Out for the tag team championships. So what's going on with Hangman Page here?
I don't know. It's a genuinely such an intriguing story because he came out of nowhere, grabbed his leg and was just, you know, and very deliberately cost them the match. It wasn't like, oh, I've accidentally distracted you or anything like that. It was a very deliberate, I'm grabbing your leg, I'm costing you this match. But then as he walked away, he was like, oh no, I don't know what I've done now.
Yeah, ooh,
probably shouldn't have done that. And as he walked off, he kind of went into the stands and he was like, his facial expressions are fantastic. Really, really sold like 17 different emotions in one look. It was really, really good. Just walked away in the stands. And then later on in the show, the Young Bucks accosted him and he was in the bar, of course. And they came up to him and they were like, oh, of course you're in the bar. Coming here, what? You just don't want to face us again? What's going on here? And they were like, just shouting at him, yelling at him, just being like, we said before that you were a jobber ages ago, but today you decided to be one. And just like ripped into him for ages. He wasn't saying a word through the whole thing. He just looked kind of, just kind of blank and despondent through the whole thing. They grabbed the drink he had and they said, you're nothing but a drunk, threw it in his face, and then said, fine, we're done. You're out of the Elite. This is what you want. Fine. And then walked off. The bit I love from this, though, if they slam the door behind them, the glass broke, and then the last shot you see
Stone Cold Steve Austin ran out.
And Stone Cold came out, yeah. And then you see Adam Page looking at this window that smashed. You see the reflection of Adam Page with the shattered glass, and it's like the shattered Elite. It's good. Really, really, really good.
It's on the bloody nose. But I do care one iota. I like you. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It's such mature, complex storytelling. Because just when you think that it's Hangman Page who's going to turn heel, which is what we were all thinking back in February around Revolution time, and that excellent tag match with Omega and Page versus the Bucks. You know, that one of the best matches I've ever seen. But it wasn't. It was like, because he was almost going to turn on Kenny. But since then, it's been Kenny who's turning heel. And you're like, okay, are we going to get the cleaner coming back? But now it's Paige turning heel here, but then almost immediately regretting his actions, almost immediately realizing, FTR have manipulated me to do this here. What have I done to my friends? Which is why I think he didn't talk to the Bucks when they were just yelling at him. Unfortunately, I cannot see a wrestler look into a mirror without thinking of Hulk Hogan looking into a mirror and seeing the Ultimate Warrior behind his shoulder. So I always do get a bit of that, but that's on me. That's not on AEW. This was just masterful because there are so many ways they can go with this.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, the Young Bucks are kind of justified, because what I really liked about this was they actually finally pulled the trigger of, okay, you're out of the Elite now. And I think it made perfect sense for them to do it after he had intentionally cost them a match, because a lot of it was just like, oh, it's a bit tense, oh, not sure if they can get along. But now he's done something that was very intentional to cost them, and they said, fine, you're out, see you later. And it made perfect sense for those two to go together. The consequence fit the action, I think, in this one. So both of them are kind of justified. Like, yeah. Paige, it was a heel move, but he looked very kind of guilty about it. And yeah, he didn't want to face them again, potentially, all out. So he cost them the match, which is a heel thing to do. But, you know, maybe he felt super guilty about it, but didn't get a chance to say, you know, his piece about it. And the Bucks maybe overreacted, throwing a drink on him and kicking me out of the Elite. But also, it's justified. No. So, like, I don't know. I don't know where this is going, because all of them are kind of, they're not justified, but all of them, you can see why they're doing what they're doing. So it's, I don't know where they're going to go from here, because all of them have a point.
I think the Bucks were definitely justified. A guy they considered their friend stopped them from getting a tag team title shot against them, you know, against, like, it's the guy. It's so clear what his motives are, to them at least. Maybe not to Hangman Page, what his own motives are. So to answer the question, did Hangman Page just turn heel? I'm going to hold off on that, because I still, like you said, they are continually casting shades of grey over Page. Whereas Omega, it's pretty clear that he is angry and he is going down a dark path. And he's not getting those shots at the end of his segments after he's destroyed Marco Stunt, going, "Ooh, was that the right thing to do?" No, he's like, "I still want to kill this mother jammer." Whereas Hangman Page, like, looks like he's going to brood over every single decision. So what happens now, I suppose? You've got Omega and Page versus FTR at All Out. Do you think a title change is going to happen? I'm glad they didn't do the Bucks, because they've done that match. And I'm also glad they didn't do the three-way, which is what I want, which is why you don't give that to me for a while. And trust me, I know what people want.
I think, yes, FTR are going to win.
Oh, really?
I think FTR are going to win the titles. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know whether the Bucks are going to get involved, because I feel like if FTR are going to win the titles, it should be clean. Mm. It should be them winning, because they're good enough. They shouldn't have assistance to help them win. But also, I want Paige and Omega to go full heel, I think that's the way I want them to go. And I want kind of Paige to just be surrounded by corrupting forces with FTR and with Kenny, so that he just kind of follows them down that path, kind of being manipulated down this heelish route, leading to an eventual future face turn.
Wow.
Not anytime soon, but in the future he has some redeemable qualities, put it that way, so he can legitimately turn face again without just being like, "I'm good now." So I think FTR should win. Whether that means that Paige hesitates in the match, he has a chance to win, but be heelish doing so, and he doesn't take it. But then, you know, maybe on the Dynamite after, he's like, "That cost us the titles. I need to be more decisive. I'll join Kenny in the heelish ways." I don't know. I don't know whether the Bucks are going to get involved. I don't know if FTR are going to win or not. I don't know whether anyone's going to turn heel or not. Mm. So many possibilities. I don't know.
That's why this story is so great, because everything they do, I didn't see coming, and it's better than what I thought was coming. To do that to a mind like mine is stunning. So I'm going to make a prediction. The Bucks do interfere. Mm-hmm. Super kick Paige. Don't super kick Kenny, but look at FTR and super kick them both.
Because
that doesn't work, because that would give them, that would mean Omega retains. I don't know, but also, you know, down the line, I think the Omega Hangman Page singles feud over the AEW championship is where we want to get to.
Oh, man.
So much stuff, possibly.
It's literally like all of these like possibilities of people interacting and how the storylines can cross. It's how I feel about, and I'm going to be talking about a rival promotion here, but it's how I feel about the NXT four-way that's happening next week. When you've got Gargano, Ciampa, Cole and Balor, I'm like, everyone in that match has so much history together.
Yeah.
All of the stories just have crossed into this one match. I can't wait for it. So this is, I feel very similar in that you have so many story threads that are connecting in different ways, and it will just lead to this amazing future matches with so much history in them.
When you consistently book good storylines and characters, you reap the rewards of it down the line.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
We've got any Patreon shout outs to do.
I did message them to you earlier.
You messaged them privately. Sorry, I couldn't find them on the normal
Didn't. No, I did them in the normal thread. You're just
in the normal thread.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah, you are just blind occasionally.
There they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you, $25 a month or more. Pledge Amazon Patreon. We'll get to all your super chats after this this brief call out here. So get them all in. It's a last call for super chats, but thank you. It's just a Matthew McFadden.
Woo. Yeah, thank you.
I'm Batty Man.
Nathan Batty.
Nice. Please, sir, can I have some more Dom Hall Braggs?
Woo! It's begging, not Braggs.
Ah, that makes more sense.
Gotcha. Yeah. Manipulating Manny Umaria. Woo!
Thank you, Manny. Probably better than Kyle, Philip O'Reilly. Probably not, though. He's great.
Name, but who knows? Living in the past, Kieran Pryor. Woo!
Like that thank name. You. The Humble Egotist, Danny Average.
Woo! Thank you. This one I've been waiting to do for ages because I don't think anyone's got it, but here we go. Viernes el décimo tercero, Jason Gutierrez. Woo!
Woo!
Because it means Friday the 13th, but in Spanish because his name's Jason Gutierrez.
Well,
this guy right here.
Wow, that's good. Thank you. Jim Possible, Prendergast.
Woo! Thank you. Chris Hellfire Brimstone.
Hellfire! Tower of London, Nigel Morris.
Woo! Thank you very much. And finally, a bit of build up on this one.
Oh,
Ronald Coleman, baby!
Hey! Thank you, everyone, thank you. All so much there. Got a good Wrestle Talk After Dark show that's being recorded right now by Laurie and Adam. Of course, not Luke. Luke's definitely not going to be on that show. So, if you're not a patron already, go over and sign up, take part in Wrestle League, and you can get a shout out on this show with your own wrestling nickname. Let's see what the super chats think. Get all your super chats in because we will get to every single one of them throughout this show. Let's go through ones related to the main discussion point. Did Hangman Page turn heel? Charlie Davis reckons the story between Hangman and the Elite is so good because it's not playing off of face and heel tropes. It's about how anxiety, imposter syndrome, and a failure to communicate can destroy friendships.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's the thing that makes the story so interesting is we've seen every possible face versus heel story in the history of wrestling. We've seen them all. So this is just shades of grey all across the board, and it makes it unique and fresh and different.
I think imposter syndrome is what I've been looking to say, but I haven't quite clocked it. So thank you, Charlie, because that's what Hangman Page's character is suffering from, really.
Yeah. He's
in a group. He came into a group as a self-confessed jobber full of the greatest wrestlers working in the world today. So of course you're going to feel like you're never quite good enough and you're always playing catch up. And that's ultimately his own hang-ups have driven him away. Just brilliant stuff. Valab Mamadipudi, that closing shot of Paige in the broken mirror, very Metal Gear, punished Paige. Ollie Davis, not a typo. Sorry, I'll correct it for you. Mr. Davis is a slick heel. Hashtag justice for Luke. Paul Kerr literally shouted, oh no, not Hangman. So they got me for sure. Brody bullying the Dark Order was hysterically funny if you followed BTE. I love the Dark Order act. I'm not too into the lawnmowers being brought into Dynamite canon.
We'll get into that later. I've got some thoughts.
I did the same thing because I just didn't see Hangman Page interference spot coming.
No, and I missed it initially because the camera didn't quite pan to him initially when it happened. It was like, oh, Hangman. I was like, who are they? What Hangman? And then they showed the shot of Hangman grabbing the leg. I was like, that Hangman. Oh God. Yeah. That's great.
Sawyer, last one for now on this main subject. Hangman knows the first match between Bucks and FTR can't be given away for free on TV in the middle of a gauntlet. What a babyface move.
That's, you know what? Yeah, I didn't even think about that. If Bucks won, they'd have just faced FTR in the gauntlet. Totally didn't think about that.
It was only after the fact that I realized that. And I was like, oh yeah, that's such smart booking. And Shane Adam Hughes, sorry, this has just come in. Hangman has come a long way from his first title match with Chris. Yeah, he has. I think in the near future, we may see MJF versus Hangman for the main belt. Love you, Davis. Love you too.
Interesting.
Down the line, I would love to see... You know, the promo, Hangman isn't a great promo guy, but what he is a strong, silent ass kicker. So to have that yappy MJF heel, chicken S word, go up against the cowboy that is Hangman Page, that's a great dynamic.
I think that's a similar dynamic to what they've got going with Moxley right now, who's kind of a bit more quiet, a bit more reserved. But the difference is Moxley does cut a fantastic promo, which we saw on this episode, Yeah, it's just him kind of like a bit more of a quiet, silent, well, I'm just going to beat you up kind of guy. Which is, similar to what Paige can be in the future, I think.
So let's go through the play-by-play of the show. We've already covered the tag team gauntlet match. That was the big angle that ran through it.
I do have a very quick thing about the tag team gauntlet. Not to sound like some sort of old school wrestling journalist or anything. That was a bit weird that Dustin just hit a Canadian Destroyer that was just a move. It's like, wasn't even like setting up a hot tag. It wasn't a big move. It was just, he just did it. I was like, oh.
That ship has sailed, my friend. There's also a German suplex on the apron.
Well, the one I was actually going to bring up, I think it was in the Lucha Bros match, there was a package power driver on the apron. I was like, you could put someone out for months with that.
That should be
a spot to put someone out. It was a move. I don't know. Some moves I'm like, should have done more with that.
I know. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But I love Tully Blanchard with FTR. What a package they look like. It's not been like the most explained thing, but I kind of like how it's come together. I've seen a few people be like, we need a proper backstage segment where they officially say they're working together. But for me, I think I'm a smart guy. I can fill in the blanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Tully was involved in that whole heel turn part of FTR. I can assume.
And like FTR have said enough times, if you followed any part of their career, you know they're big Four Horsemen fans. Mm. And like, you know, it just fits. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the other opening thing on the show. And that was, there's some real people there.
Mm. Yes, there were. Were they distanced? I mean, they looked.
Yeah.
Some of them looked distanced.
so multiple things to dive into here. We'll do it as quickly as possible. AEW have said themselves there was a very strict testing procedure. Everyone had their temperature taken. It's very well ventilated. Everyone had masks. There were people checking. Everyone had masks. apparently, I read a report as well a few days ago that while it looks like people are together, there is a bit of camera trickery at play, sort of camera angles to make it look like people closer than they are for the purpose of the TV product. But in actuality, they are socially distancing. So I guess if that's what's happening, cool. Did they add enough to warrant the risk? Was the reward worth the risk? How did Money in the Bank put it?
Shut up.
I hate that tagline.
I don't think so either. I did see an interesting tweet from apparently someone that was there who tweeted out to say it did not come across on TV as loud as it was in the arena. Like they weren't mic'd properly. Like they should have.
Right.
They were doing enough noise that it should have come across properly on TV, but maybe that's an AEW audio issue that they'll fix and maybe turn up the crowd more in the future. I don't know. But yeah, for this episode, no, they didn't add enough for me.
Yeah. But I mean, it's the first time they've had fans back.
Yeah.
So maybe, just like we saw with the Thunderdome, there's going to be teething issues and maybe some of those were audio. I could certainly hear them when they sang for Jericho when he came out on commentary right at the start of the show. And I've got to be honest, even though I disagree with fans coming back, I think it's dangerous. God, it sends shivers down my spine.
Right? Yeah. I was like, my first notes for this show are crowd singing along to Judas. F, I've missed crowds. Mm. Yeah. Oh, just that audio feedback from crowds just responding to something in the ring. It's just like, it's what I live for in wrestling, genuinely.
But you know, I never really knew that I missed it because it's never really been gone. Even at indie shows, that they're loud, they've got people. But yes, the other thing to dive into, have you seen the Tony Khan stuff?
Which Tony Khan stuff?
So Khan comes out before they go live and says to the audience, hey, please don't swear. You know, chant what you want, be loud, but please don't do sweary chants. Something I can empathize with. And the whole FTF debacle.
Mm.
Now, it seems to me that Ryan Satin and a few others have called out Tony Khan for trying to influence the crowd. But Tony Khan has replied to them and said, like, look, it's the network, the cable network asked me specifically to avoid sweary chants when we bring fans back. I see nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, no, I've seen some people trying to compare that to like WWE trying to orchestrate people in the Thunderdome. Mm. I'm like, no, that's not the same. Asking people to not swear is not a big deal. You just don't swear. You're on a product that goes out on television. Don't swear. It's not that hard. There's nothing wrong with this. I don't get the complaints at all.
I don't know. So yes, we had the tag team gauntlet to open the show. Then we got just a absolute squash from Lance Archer. He came out. Haven't seen him in a match for a while. He's just been mostly backstage throwing people through ceilings. True story. And Lance Archer just destroyed Sean Maluta, and then Jake the Snake gets in and cuts a really good promo about how Lance is going to win All Out Casino Battle Royal. So Archer and Darby Allin had just been announced as the first entrants into that. The Casino Battle Royal over the last couple of years, the first one in particular, was treated as a joke. It was a comedy match. And throughout the course of this episode, you know, everyone's going to talk about the main event or the tag team stuff, the Hangman Page. One of the most amazing things I think AEW did here was make that Battle Royal one of my most anticipated pay-per-view things on the card.
Literally, they just went, who have we got that are our top stars that aren't currently in matches? Let's put them all in the Battle Royal. Like, oh my God, it looks absolutely stacked right now. Genuinely, I'm really looking forward to that match. It should be so, so good.
Because it's not just the caliber of people in the match and the way they've been presented up until this point. It's also the faction warfare, Pete. So you've got Lance here. He's a faction unto himself. And then interrupting Lance and Jake is another heel act, Team Taz, the FTW. And as they walk out, Jake says on the mic, oh, here come the Flintstones. And I was just like, oh my God, they're the Flintstones. What is it? What? Why do they remind me so much of the Flintstones?
I don't know. This might just be me. Wasn't a fan of that line.
Yeah,
just thought it was a bit juvenile. I was like, just reminded me a lot of like name calling. Oh, you're the Flintstones. Like,
yeah, but he's a heel.
Yeah, I know he is, but it's still just like, it's just a bit juvenile and name call-y rather than.
It's weird because in WWE, we criticize them all the time for outdated references, and calling a group of people the Flintstones is, you know, but for whatever reason, though, it worked. I think it worked really well, but it popped me suddenly. Anyway, Taz is like, we're going to win. Then Darby Allin runs in and kicks Ricky Stark so hard, his shoes come off, which is fantastic. I thought that whole bit was a bit clunky.
Yeah.
Didn't play as well as I think they had it in their heads.
No one really helped Ricky Starks, and it is like, Taz and Brian Cage are right there, and they're just like, he's fine.
Yeah.
He just gets beaten up out of the arena. He's like, no, he's good.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what?
It felt like there was a page missing from the script. Like there was another finish to this bit, but it definitely helped build the Casino Battle Royal, which was ramped up a notch later. Really cool video pack. Oh, sorry.
I think they just wanted to have Lance Archer and Brian Cage staring off and being like, it's two big lads. Got to get them in there. Yeah. Big meaty boys.
Oh, it's hot wearing a jacket.
Also, former NXT star Sean Maluta was in that match.
I recognize the name.
Mm.
So we got a really cool video package hyping Thunder Rosa, NWA champion, to go against Shida at All Out. Even using footage of her stuff in NWA with Billy Corgan's voice putting her over. I enjoyed that tremendously. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, unfortunately, it's all set dressing for a lack of depth and attention on AEW's own women's division.
Yes, totally. And that was exemplified with the women's match later. But, it should be a great match. And genuinely, I am quite looking forward to it. If it gets a bit of time, which it should, All Out on a pay-per-view, you'd think, you'd hope anyway, that it gets a bit of time. It should be really good because they both look really, really good. So they should be a great match. But yeah, they do need to actually have some proper challenges for Shida rather than promotional crossover matches.
Yeah, because it just feels like an exhibition match as opposed to a proper feud and story.
Doesn't look great for NWA, though, in general. Like having Eddie Kingston come over recently, having Barrett go over to NXT, having, you know, Thunder Rosa on here as well. It's like, is NWA okay? Or is people leaving? Well, or what's going on?
No, because obviously Dave Lagana left after the speaking out allegations. Then there were those reports that Corgan was just going to shut it all down because he's a bit disillusioned with wrestling now. This is like the second time he's been screwed over after trying to go into business with Dixie Carter at TNA. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm hoping, because he kind of, there was this reported email to talent where it's just like, look, I'm not going to hold you hostage here. If you want to go out and find work, by all means do that, because I'm not putting on any shows. It's not safe to do so right now. So there's no NWA for until the rest of the year, I've got to think. So that's why Ricky Starks, Thunder Rosa,
Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, these people have presumably come to AEW. You can't do Lucha Underground and just hold all these.
No, of course not. Yeah, of course not.
So the segment after this was absolutely fantastic. It was MJF and Moxley have interacted before, but this was their first sit down direct face-to-face promo segment. And it was all based around a contract signing, and contract signings have been criticized a lot over the last year for being lazy and just a trope you can chuck out as a crutch. I mean, that you can see it's a Bruce Pritchard thing. He loves them. So since he's come back, we've been treated to loads of contract signings on SmackDown. There's one tonight. But this one, I felt like it made sense because it was all about getting to Moxley to sign a specific part of the contract where he's banned from doing the paradigm shift.
Yes, it wasn't just a contract for a match. contrary to the promo we just saw of Shida versus Thunder Rosa, which was just signing a contract for a match, this was, you have to sign this specific contract because it's got this clause in it. I'm going to try and persuade you to sign this with this clause in, or I'm going to try and anger you and manipulate you enough so you sign it, was how it really turned out. But yes, it made sense to have a contract signing for this one because it was a unique contract.
And there was an extra bit in the contract. The contract itself had its own angle because Moxley signs the contract, brilliantly puts over how, yeah, okay, I'm going to take my paradigm shift out of the equation, my most dangerous weapon in my arsenal. But you know what that's going to do? It's just going to make me have to be more creative. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh my God, you feel more dangerous than ever now. Like that's a masterstroke of elevating the threat of the match, despite what initially seems like a massive limitation.
Yeah. And you think, like, especially because MJF was playing up, you know, he had a neck brace on, was coming out with a Zimmer frame and all that stuff. And him just being like, well, if he's not got the paradigm shift, what's he going to do? And then you just go, oh, no way. He could do much worse things in the paradigm shift with just like two lines from Mox just being like, fine, I'm just going to have to get creative. I'll just have to think of all the other limbs that I could break. It's just like, oh, I'm going to have to find all the other ways I can take all the air out of your lungs. Like, okay, that's kind of scary.
My prediction is that we'll see some of that on Wednesday's episode because, you know, Moxley hands back the contract, MJF signs it, and then the lawyer, who's been very obnoxious, he's a great promo, this lawyer guy.
Yeah,
really he was good on the previous week's, well, Saturday's episode. And the lawyer's suddenly going, oh my God, what did you sign? Why have you signed that? You've got to read it before you sign it. And MJF's like, what? Huh? Like looking dumb, which is so fun to see because, you know, he's typically trying to protect himself. And Moxley has slipped in an extra page to the contract, which means he gets a match with the lawyer on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's perfect. It's so good. And he said, like, you have to have this match. Otherwise, he doesn't get his title match at All Out. So now he has to turn up for it. Which obviously MJF is going to force him to do. And he said, hey, paradigm shift is legal in that match. Way! I think, can't remember what he said. I think you said, oh, you're going to go for a ride. Best bring a helmet or something like that. So he was having a good time. If I'm going to nitpick, by the way, which is what I do, so I have to.
SmackDown's professional nitpicker, Pete Quinnell.
That's me. There's a couple of lines I didn't like in these promos. They were really, really good. And they saved it straight afterwards. It wasn't anything that ruined the segment at all. But there was another couple of lines where I was like, it's a bit juvenile, that. With MJF to be like, you're losing your hair. Ha 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 ha. And Mox just being like, you're young. Lol, 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 lol. I'm like, oh, guys, like.
I thought it was good. I've never heard. So that particular line, MJF said to Moxley, it's good that we can socially distance this contract signing like your hair socially distances. Because, you know, obviously, Moxley's got the McDonald's hairline.
Yeah.
Which I share with him. So, you know, that hit home with me. But then Moxley, I got the sense that Moxley didn't know that was coming. So he improvised the line back, which shows how quick a wit he is.
Totally.
And he just said, oh, you'll get it one day when you hit puberty. So like, I like that.
Don't get me wrong. They are independently funny lines. They're not like the standard brand of WWE comedy when they're just petty name calling. I just felt like it didn't really fit with anything. It was just MJF was trying to like goad Mox in. He was like calling out his wife and stuff like that. But which was a great line, by the way. It was just like him poking fun at his hair it didn't really feel like the way to go about Moxley to get him to sign the contract. It felt a bit off. And the response was a bit like,
yeah,
I don't know. But like I said, I am nitpicking because it was a great promo segment and it made a lot of sense.
I'll just run through a few of the other fantastic lines just to give them equal weight. The line about Renee Young is, tell your hot little wife I'm single, by the way. And Moxley stands up. That was, but the way Moxley was genius here because he put over, MJF was genius here because he put over Moxley so much. He said that Mike Tyson pointed at the screen backstage and said, I wouldn't want to be in a dark alley with that guy. And you're like, Moxie feels proper dangerous now if Mike Tyson's saying that.
And the thing is, I doubt that that's true, but it feels like it could be. Mm. and that's the important thing. It's like, well, maybe that's true.
Yeah.
So it's like, I kind of buy that. Yeah. It's really well done.
MJF uses that for the story purposes. And it's the underlying narrative or conflict, rather, of this whole feud, which is MJF can out-wrestle Moxley, or at least he claims to be able to, because then he says, we're not going to be in a dark alley. We're going to be in a wrestling ring. And you're not a wrestler. You're a glorified goon. You're a brawler. You want to get me outside the ring, but when we're in these ropes, I can beat you. He said, I'm going to keep you in the ring like a dog on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hot take. MJF has a great promo. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. He's really, really good.
After that, we got Butcher, Blade, and the Lucha Bros, who, with Eddie Kingston, I'm calling Death Pentagon. Because they used to be called Death Triangle with Pac.
With Pac, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is still much cooler in Spanish.
Mm. They took on Joey Janela, Sonny Kiss, Brian Pillman Jr., and Griff Garrison. So, obviously, Death Pentagon are getting the push here. They sort of formed on Saturday's episode under Eddie Kingston's guidance. Good God, is he a good promo?
Oh,
my Lord. And they just, they had a really fun match. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, this is an undercard match? Pentagon's in there.
Yeah, no, this was really, really good. I actually wrote down they were facing Sonny Kiss, Joey Janela, Brian Pillman, and Jungle Boy Impersonator, which is close enough. I also found it hilarious that every time, similarly to WWE, every time someone does something on the apron, Jericho and commentary would go, that's the hardest part of the ring, guys.
Oh, that's so definitely good. A joke. I've Obviously, seen some yeah. people were annoyed with Jericho's commentary, found him too obnoxious. I think he's brilliant. He is one of the best color commentators working today.
I think there might have been the odd line here and there that I was like, oh, it's a bit much. But the rest of the show, I was like, God, he's great. Mm. So, like, it's fine. You can have one or two lines where I'm like, ah, you're a bit annoying. Because he is a heel commentator. So that's fine for me.
Sonny Kiss really impressed me here. I thought he
really good.
Had some... He just, like, the spots he had, he chose them really well.
Mm-hmm.
That those splits from the second rope.
Ow. Inches. Yeah.
But yet the Pentagon won with a package pile driver on the apron, I think it was.
It was Butcher and Blade, and then Lucha Bros hit like their own double team finish afterwards. The pile driver on the apron was a transitional move.
but he beat Garrison to win because he's lowest of the pecking order here. And then Kingston gets in, gets the referee to raise everyone's hands. And then he announces they are all going to be in the Casino Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
And one of us is going to win. And I'm like, oh my God, this faction only became a thing 5 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now they feel like the most important act going into this Casino Battle Royal, which I didn't care about before this episode either. The winner gets a title shot, right?
Yeah,
the
AEW Championship match, yeah.
So it's... And just like the dynamic, the storytelling possibilities of having five guys working in unison together. Oh, will everyone else have to gang up?
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely believe that they will decide a winner. Like,
yes.
I don't think they're going to do the tired heel spot where, now we're going to have to turn on each other. I want them to be a synchronized unit with a common aim.
And I want them almost to get into another big kind of faction thing with, you know, with Brian Cage and Ricky Starks are also going to be in it. And it's like, they all sort of, none of the groups implode, but they all sort of eliminate each other to get the proper winner. All of them still maintain their own units by the end of it. Cause I don't want anyone to really implode. Cause I kind of like all the groups they've got right now. So
And they're still really new. They shouldn't be imploding at this point. After that, we got a recap of the Cody angle. I haven't actually given... Well, I've given my thoughts on... Sorry, everyone. We couldn't do last Saturday's AEW Dynamite. Mm. It was a fantastic show. Because it was just there was just too much going on that weekend. We had the SummerSlam stuff. There was NXT TakeOver, SmackDown, obviously. So this got lost in the scheduling shuffle. But it was an excellent, excellent episode. And give me this one, folks, because I got to watch it at a normal hour on my big screen TV without having to make notes. And I think I text Luke. I was like, oh, God, that was a treat. It was a treat to watch Dynamite and not have to miss half the show because I'm scribbling my thoughts on stuff and writing a script. I loved it. It just made me realize how much I loved that show. So I was watching it with my partner, and she got sort of, over time, got absorbed into certain bits.
Really?
But she as much, she never does that with the other company. Mm-hmm. And she mocks bits. But this one, like an MJF promo and the final angle, she got absorbed. That's interesting. Particularly with a lot of the ratings chat right now being about how AEW is performing better than any other sport on TV for the amount of people in a household that watch the show. So per household viewers, AEW is the highest.
Wow. That's crazy. What?
That to me says the wrestling fans watch it, and over time, because the show is so goddamn good, the girlfriend, the kids, the wife, the husband, they start watching it too. And it slowly gets everyone into it.
Yeah. Also, guys, I see a lot of people in the chat saying that, like, Mr. Davis texted Luke. Yeah, he did that, you know, before Quizlemania. This was last
week. I watched that Monday.
So, yeah. I watched that Monday. This was before that, unfortunately.
Deleted his number from my phone, obviously.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this vision of a man, Mr. Brody Lee, who comes out from his fresh off his TNT title win with the Dark Order. Evil Uno cuts a promo. They've got a coffin. It's like they pretend Cody's in there. It's just one of the minions dressed up as Cody with a little tattoo and everything. Cuts a promo to Tony Schiavone. Officially inducts Anna Jay into the Dark Order. I thought that was a thing already. She's been hanging out with them for a month, dressed all in black. And then John Silver was like, I love you, I love you. So Brody Lee just punched him, which was fun. Dustin and QT Marshall run out. They get beaten up by the numbers game. Scorpio Sky runs out. He gets laid out, but that was a nice little way to set him up as a future TNT title challenger. Shame he lost to Cody so cleanly and relatively quickly, unfortunately, for the TNT title stuff. That doesn't make me take him that seriously. And then Lee and the bigwigs leave. Matt Cardona comes down because he's a best bud of Cody too, and fights off the rest of the Dark Order, faces Stan Tull.
Yeah. Brody Lee's promo was fantastic. Yep. Loved it. So, so good. So fiery. And building off his angle from last week was amazing. Really loved it. Evil Uno's promo was a bit weird about lawnmowers. I mean, I know that, like, there's definitely some stuff that I'm not in on because I don't watch Being the Elite, and there's some comedy that I won't be privy to. I don't feel like I should be left confused because I don't watch that, if that makes sense. It should be like, it could be a little in-joke for people who get it, but there was a whole setup of lawnmowers around, and they bought cars and all that stuff, and it felt like it was part of, like, the angle was them buying lawnmowers, and I was like, what's happening here? Which was a bit strange. Also, I want to go on to something here, because when they came out, they were holding the coffin as they came out. Now, I don't know how privy you are or up to date with your memes you are, Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the coffin dance meme?
No.
Okay. Would you like to see the coffin dance meme?
Yes.
Okay. Because I don't know when this was popularized. Earlier this year or maybe late last year. I don't know. At some point, I'm not too in tune with my memes. But it's basically a bunch of people dancing with a coffin. Here we go. Let's hope we don't get a copyright strike because it's got music. Here we go. There there you go. It's like a 2.5 minute thing. And it's just some people dancing with a coffin. I'm pretty sure they were doing the coffin dance thing when they came out and dancing with the coffin.
Yes.
Just right out there.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got similar sort of feelings on this then. Brody Lee, everything Brody Lee's doing, love. Love his vision for Dark Order. I feel like there's another vision at play here, which is a slightly goofy comedy act of the Dark Order. And it is incredibly funny on Being the Elite, or the John Silver, Alan Angles stuff. Angles, Angels, I keep getting it wrong. And that's where the lawnmower joke comes from as well, where Hangman Page was saving up money to buy another lawnmower or a new lawnmower. And Brody Lee bought like 6 lawnmowers despite not having a lawn, which is funny stuff. But
yeah,
really, save that for the marquee internet show. I agree. I think, you know, that this is, you'll get, you might have more viewers tuning in on a Thursday, new viewers, people who have stayed on. Well, I guess not because there's no American sport right now, but in theory, you would have had new people getting the bump off the sport that preceded it, maybe. And I think it's the sort of stuff that's too insider. That when it shows all of the lawnmowers around the ring, I was just like, this isn't what the Dark Order should be. The Dark Order should be a lot more serious, particularly after that angle on Saturday. I think it did undermine it. And, you know, it goes back to the start of the Dark Order, really. That was a separate creative vision to what it's had to change to fit in with Brody Lee's version.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I think, yeah, Brody Lee's promo kind of got it back on track with him being all fiery and stuff. But even like, I think it was me that stood up to him, the guy that looks like me anyway, that stood up to him and said, you know, oh, I'm so happy for you and all that stuff. I've been celebrating since this time. I'm like, even that's a bit goofy. Obviously Brody Lee like knocked him out afterwards and just said, get him back in line kind of thing. But even he kind of came across as like this really over the top kind of goofy character. And I was like, shouldn't everyone be a bit more serious? It feels like Brody's serious and everyone else is goofy, which doesn't quite mesh as well as it should.
I feel like they're leaning. I feel like they love the Being the Elite character of Brody Lee so much because it is really funny that they're bringing that into Dynamite. And I think that's a mistake because right now I'm getting serious Despicable Me vibes. It's Brody Lee as Gru. And all the people underneath him are just like the idiotic slapstick minions, which I don't want. But I did enjoy this segment. It's worrying signs if they continue down the lawnmower path. Unfortunately, after that, though, we got quite easily the worst thing on the show. It's the women's division again, unfortunately. Rebel and Penelope Ford took on Big Swole. If Big Swole beat them in the handicap match, she would then get the Britt Baker match that's been building for ages. Britt Baker's out injured. She's in the wheelchair outside. And it was a really badly worked match.
Yeah, it was. Which is such a shame because I don't think any of them are bad. Yeah, but it was just really bad. Yeah. I don't know whether it was because Rebel has to act like she can't wrestle. It really like slowed everything down a lot. And it was like even the spot at the end where she grabbed one of Britt Baker's crutches to use and the referee took it away. While the referee's back was turned, she went to go grab the other crutch to use. And then the swing with the crutch while the referee's back was turned was just so like sloppy and out of time. Nothing really seemed to gel. It was just, no, it just wasn't good. I don't know what was going on with that.
Yeah, but something went wrong right at the start when I think Big Swole and Ford fell over and they just never got their footing back. Yeah. What more can you say, unfortunately? But then we got the Dark Order coming out, just Evil Uno, Stu Grayson and Anna Jay. And they offered Tayanara Conte an offer to join them, which she accepted.
Yeah, that was
the Dark Order member.
Yeah, which makes continuity sense from the Deadly Draw, because Anna Jay and Tay Conti were tag teaming together on that, which makes sense. So she's like, I really enjoy tagging with you. Come join my cult. yeah, cool.
I do hope they're leaning into only recruiting blonde women.
It's a mob gimmick, Ollie.
It's a classic. I've seen it in Goodfellas. You know, Italian mobster women are famous for their blonde hair, aren't they? It's definitely what this gimmick is.
Mm-hmm.
A mobster gimmick.
Yep.
And the main event was Sammy Guevara versus Matt Hardy. They had a fantastic 25-minute match in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's a bit quick, this one, wasn't it? Yeah, the vast majority of this match was in an ad break, in like a picture-in-picture type deal.
Weirdly, not the vast majority, though. We still got like 6 minutes of TV time action. That the ad break was only 2 minutes long, but all the spots happened in those 2 minutes.
Exactly, yeah. All the big stuff, I think there was like Hardy, as they came back from the ad break, I'm pretty sure that Hardy put himself through a table by missing an elbow drop, which, by the way, they were harping on commentary. It has to be an offensive move through the table. You can't eliminate yourself through a table. So, yeah, Hardy put himself through a table. Guevara, I think, put himself through a table in the ad break. And then Hardy got out this table with deleted spray painted on it and was setting it up after he hit a twist of fate on Guevara with a chair wrapped around his neck. I wouldn't want to take that. But then, something that I think you actually missed in your review of it earlier, he set up the chair to stand up underneath the table. Ow! Yeah.
I didn't see that. Bloody
hell. Yeah. The chair was underneath the table. It was, oh, wouldn't want to take that one. And then the match just kind of ended because Hardy got up on the turnbuckle, Guevara got off the table and just superplexed Hardy through the table, through the chair. Would not want to take that at all. And then that was it. Guevara wins. And he got busted open real bad at some point. I don't know when.
It wasn't because I thought, oh, okay, they've made him bleed to play off the previous injury bit that happened between them when Sammy recklessly threw that chair at Matt's face. But it wasn't a cut. It wasn't a busted out, like a worked cut. He had this gash out the side of his head, which, of course, it's Sammy. He rubs his hand in and licks it. But, it's a shame this wasn't presented as an actual match, you know, because I think they could have had a good feud ender. It's a shame. But they both guys worked very hard. You can't fault them, really. It's just how the episode seemed to run out of time. Like, I can only imagine. And then just as the show's going off air, Orange Cassidy jumps on Jericho and they start brawling too. So a lot of stuff. Maybe they did run out of time.
I'm thinking they did, probably.
Overall, though, I thought this show was excellent. I love the Hangman Page stuff. I love how they've built the Casino Battle Royal. Really looking forward to the go-home episode next week. 4 out of 5 for me.
I'd agree with you on that. I think this is really good. Built all out really effectively, especially the Casino Battle Royal. Thought that was fantastic. And getting FTR versus Omega and Page. Yes, please. Can't wait for that. And also, yeah, the matches that we've got so far for All Out now. So we've got Jericho versus Cassidy in the Mimosa Mayhem. we've got Moxie versus MJF, Omega and Page versus FTR, Shida versus Thunder Rosa, and they did announce as well Dark Order versus Natural Nightmares and Cardona and Scorpio Sky. So everyone that was involved in that kind of segment and 8-man tag. Just cool. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a really good show. And at the end of the day, that's what they're doing, is building the pay-per-view effectively. So can't be too mad at that. 4 out of 5 for me as well.
Let's get into all of your super chats. We've had plenty come in. We'll get to all of them before the end of the show. So get any you want in now, and hopefully we'll have time. Commander Merc, the Elite should turn heel, not Paige. Have the Elite get fed up and turn heel and keep Paige a tweener. The money is in keeping Paige likable. I totally agree.
Yeah, that's actually a really, really good shout. Yeah, like that.
Nate drops surname. I think Paige is so conflicted, and he didn't want his two groups of best friends to fight. Maybe he doesn't think FTR can beat the Bucks and didn't want to find out. Beautiful storytelling. What a reading.
Didn't even consider that. Yeah, it's pretty smart.
He's just the child caught in the middle of his parents.
I don't want mum and dad to fight.
Charlie Davis again, just another note. FTR have figured out the best way to beat the Bucks isn't to beat them in a match, but to destroy their wrestling family.
Oh, FDR's good.
There are so many freaking layers to this.
Yeah.
Jose Riviera Valentin, did you guys realize Moxley hasn't used his finisher in the past couple of defenses?
Yeah, so he'd be Brian Cage with the armbar, right?
I believe he did use it, but it's just ineffective against Cage because of his neck.
Because thick neck. And who was the one before that? Was it Brody?
It was, Brody or Hager? Yeah, it was Brody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did he do against Brody? I can't remember how that finished.
Rangers Mayhem. Oh, yeah, because he did hit the paradigm shift, and then I think he choked Brody out.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So he's not one with it for a while, you're right. Maxwell Friedman, thank you very much. Donation, no message.
I hope that's the real one.
Yeah. Rangers Mayhem, SRS and Louis Review. They did bring up a good point. So Louis Dangor and Sean Rossap over at Fightful Review Dynamite. Mox won his last two pay-per-view matches without the paradigm shift. Choked out Lee and Taz threw in the towel for Cage while in an armbar.
Very
interesting. Mighty Elks, Mox forcing the lawyer to fight so MJF gets his match is a lovely mirror of MJF making Cody fight Wardlow so Cody could get his match. Hashtag Mr. Davis. Mm, oh, that's a beautiful parallel.
It's very, very good, yeah.
It's like they put so much thought into it. And I really, really appreciate it. I am grateful for you, AEW. I'm not just saying this because you've turned up in the last couple of live streams. Christopher Jazzcat, that shot of Hangman looking into a broken mirror was a maze.
It was a maze. That is true, yes. Very on the nose, like Ollie said, like Mr. Davis said, but it was very, very good. We've got some AEW miscellaneous super chats. One from Flaming that says, it's nice to see QT back and healthy from his COVID-19 case. Don't recall seeing the diamond cutter. Just hashtag justice for Luke, hashtag FTF, hashtag fire Ollie, hashtag Adam's better than Ollie.
Let's move on.
Yep. Chris Wagstaff said, Mojo's broken mirrorverse, did AEW confirmed?
Mojo should have been looking back at him.
Oh, imagine that. Yes, that's the Hulk Hogan angle that you're thinking of right there. Yashasvi Tripathi, sorry if I butchered that name. I quite enjoyed tonight's show, though I fully did not see the people practicing any social distancing in the opening crowd shots in particular.
Yeah, well, hopefully they were. It's just camera trickery. Because if they weren't socially distanced, that's incredibly irresponsible.
Absolutely, yes. Ario Rottle. Definitely butcher that one. All right, AEW Women's Division, you've been working so very hard. So here's your reward. We're drafting an outsider to challenge for the title at the big pay-per-view.
It's not a good look, no.
No, it's not great. Zucchini Squash. Pillman took the pin. Here's $2 for the correction. I was going to mention that earlier.
Yes, no.
Griff Garrison. Also, Pillman did nothing in that match. He was on the apron for most of it. He got the tag in and then he got pinned, which was a bit annoying, but hey-ho. Sawyer said, last night I was reminded of what real crowd heat sounds like and the dynamic it adds to pro wrestling, something wrestlers at ringside piped in generic sounds and video screens will never provide. I didn't hear it that much, honestly, in the episode. Glad you got it, but yeah, it wasn't that effective for me.
I heard it at the start and I heard it at the end when Cassidy ran in, but yeah, I was surprised how little it added.
Yeah, same. Nate Drop Surname says, I like how Mr. Brody shuts the comedy stuff down and puts them back in line, punching out Silver, telling them to shut up on the chance. Hashtag Team Luke.
I think it needs to be a bit more coherent as a tone.
Yeah.
If they really want to make it work.
I still think they can do the Brody Lee punching his minions out if they just do something that's not that bad. Still makes Brody look like a dick for doing it. But it doesn't have any of the comedy stuff. It's just them just trying to be a servant and Brody being like not good enough. For me, that still works. We've got a massive donation from Richard Stevens here. Thank you very much. Massive $100 super chat here. Thank you so much, Richard. You're awesome. He said, hi, guys. Watching live from Virginia, USA. Longtime fan of the show. My question, what stipulation would you both like to see make a return / debut in AEW or WWE? For myself, it would have to be the Three Stages of Hell match, as with the right booking, it can really elevate a story. Yeah, they almost did the Three Stages of Hell with Cole and Gargano, wasn't it? When they had the different stipulation for each fall, which was fine. The stipulations weren't great, but it was fine. Yeah.
It's a 2 out of 3 falls match with a different stipulation each time. Yeah. The stipulation you want to see return is a stipulation that allows more stipulations. I get the sense Richard Stevens likes a straight up singles match. What gimmicks aren't around anymore? I would like War Games was the big one, but that's come back now.
I want the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view to come back.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I'm really trying to because...
Any that I really enjoyed? Because there's some that are pants that I don't want to come back, like stuff on a pole match and flag matches and stuff like that. I'm fine not having them come back. I can't think of any that aren't any more that I really want to come back.
I've just seen Sean Turner say World War III, which is where you have sort of a rumble across three rings. I don't think that's good. Sorry.
Nor the triple cage.
Yeah.
WCW. Oh
God, the triple cage. Screw it. I'm going to say triple cage because I love Ready to Rumble.
We got one here from Bacon Rash who says, Elite falling apart. Seth lost Austin to NXT. No leader for Metrobution and WrestleTalk. A member less. What's going on? Remember, Ollie, crazy 70-year-olds wear pinstripe suits. # WrestleLuke forever. # JTJ.
Well, that's conflicted. JTJ's my thing.
Yeah.
I think Vince McMahon's genius.
Mm. Yeah. MJVDG says, I want to see a faction of competitive rivals work.
Same here. Yeah.
Totally. Yes. Did you want to take over the rest?
Ty Boogie says, Championship Scramble can come back. I'd never really liked Scramble matches.
No. And one thing that I would want to come back is an Iron Man match, which is coming back literally like next week. Something that I've always been a massive fan of is Iron Man matches. So.
I really like 2 out of 3 falls matches as well.
Mm. When they're done right.
So Peter Mullins, glad you dropped the dead weight, Mr. Davis. He's a good guy, Peter. He was holding you back. Sorry that Brody Lee punched you, Chopper, but you were getting excitable.
That's true. I was. Yeah, I was really stepping out of line there.
Calistopia, support Mr. Davis. No more independent Chopper. Dance, Chopper. Go on, give them the thumbs up dance. Just a little one.
Yeah. There you go.
Sean Turner, can't wait till Luke comes into the office and stunners you, fills your car with cement and blows up the WrestleTalk bus. Free Luke, cancel Mr. Davis. I'm going to read all of these out because you've made a super chat and that is what you want. I know what you want, but we're going to breeze through them, I guess. Taylor Peck, Ollie, sorry Mr. Davis kicked Luke out of WrestleTalk 9 months faster than the Young Bucks did for Hangman. Well, yeah, it's because I can tell a story better. Hot shots the way. Lino Tupapapa Delgado, all hail Mr. Davis, boycott WrestleLuke, # JTJ. It's interesting you bring up that Wrestle thing. Completely unrelated. Don't go over to, don't search that thing in YouTube and don't go over to what used to be WrestleTalk clips. KML, it's so sad to see friends fight. I'm not talking about the Elite, but Ollie and Luke. A broken mirror for the Elite, a broken jam bottle for WrestleTalk had to be done. Peter Mullins, heel turns can be a dangerous thing, Mr. Davis. Watch out if Luke's teeth suddenly get 16 shades whiter. Might be getting to wreck everything and leave. Well, that was a heel turn. We've all decided Roman Reigns turned heel on Sunday.
He didn't.
Fake Rapid Man, Rapinter. What does that say, Pete?
I'm pretty sure that says Blake Carpenter.
Luke Weldorder, 444444444 life. Now the world knows what I have known for years. Mr. Dickus is a big whiny baby. Almanox, because you got no plans, no plans in hell. You got no plans, no plans as well. You got no plans, no plans as well. You got no plans, no plans as well. Yeah, that's Mr. Davis's theme. Was hell corrected to well a lot in that? I don't know what you're trying to do there, if that was intentional. hottest host. Mr. Davis, you are wearing the pinstripes of a true power player. Jam that jam, Mr. Davis. Make the Mr. Davis t-shirt. We should have done that. We should have had that planned. We just email. Bonzo for life. You are drunk with power, Mr. Davis. Yeah, try sometimes to Bonzo. Dartrain24, way to bury the lead. This video is little. This title, Did Hangman Turn Heel? Meanwhile, the People's Champion has been fired and Mr. Davis is power drunk. L for L. Don't know what you're talking about. Swizzle
like for like, I'm pretty sure that's what that means. That's what people do on Twitter and stuff.
Swizzle stick 97. Thank you, Mr. Davis. You know what the fans want. Joseph Bejold. All hail, Mr. Davis. He knows what you want. Love you, Mr. Davis. I'm behind you all the way. Jam
it's good.
Jam.
It's nice.
Almanox again. Hail, Mr. Davis. Now that Luke is fortunately no longer dragging down your genius, can you permanently hire Adam Blombier, whose contract is up soon? Well, you'll have to. Good luck with that non-compete, mate. William Val. Mr. Davis, does your partner know you got a mad with power and fired Luke? Three angry face emojis. Hashtag justice for Luke. Anna?
Yeah?
Do you know I've gone mad with power?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? She said no. She said, I fully on your side, and that she is disowning Luke and Luke's lady partner as friends.
No, I didn't.
Total blurred. Thank you for knowing what we want, Mr. Davis. You're welcome. Crack Kane, 123. Thank you so much for getting rid of Luke Owens. It's Luke Owen, but Luke Owens as well. His input drives me away, but you, Mr. Davis, always brings me back. Same with you, Pete. I hope you do the review from here on out. Much love from Canada.
Thank you.
Caleb Maldonado. Happy birthday, Chopper. Name redacted. Maybe gone. But Mr. Davis knows what's best. Mr. Davis, tell Chopper to dance. Everyone join the Davis Order. Give the fans what they want, Chopper. Nate drop surname. Ollie gonna promote Be a Star next. The bully. Support each other. Sean Turner, Mr. Davis, you like Chopper. Mr. Davis, you like Chopper, like Luke. Are no longer the underdog. You're a dynasty. You are what you hate you have become. Cultaholic. Hashtag free Luke. Isn't Sean Turner the guy who came up with Bailey Sting?
Sounds about right. I think so. Yeah.
Well, I think we can all, you know, that will inform our decision on how to take that super chat. Mr. Joe Marjo 32, 2 out of 3 falls was huge in AAA. I understand it's clunky, but it allows heels and baby faces to work stories out.
Yeah, I think from what I've been told, I haven't seen AAA, but from what I've been told, I think the normal is to have 2 out of 3 falls. That's the standard for matches.
Crackane 123 again. Now, when are you planning on dropping WWE for Impact, New Japan, and ROH? Look. I'm a businessman and I go where the fans want me to, which is where the most views are. And as much as I do love those companies, we can only devote limited resources to them based on the view return. Zach Icon Lindner, I can't wait for the debut of Death Dodecahedron.
It'd be amazing. Yeah, just combine all the factions into Death Dodecahedron.
Gerald Gerdes, do you think the Fiend's reign will last longer?
No. Because Reigns is winning.
Oh. Is that your prediction?
Yeah.
I picked Fiend.
That's bold.
See what happens tonight, I guess. Peter Mullins, remember, folks, Mr. Davis, and you're fired. It's not a Vince gimmick. It's a hardcore Alan Sugar fandom thing. Apprentice that apprentice, guys.
Mm.
Yeah. And yeah, monster films.
Yeah, just paying homage.
Nate drop surname. Chopper blink twice if you need help. Angle was right, Ollie. You suck. Hashtag Team Luke. Lol.
I'll be sure to blink twice if I do need help.
I feel like the lol is aimed at Team Luke. Yeah, I agree. Larry Noble just says, wrestle Luke. Good use of your $4.99 there, mate. Nathan Fultz, incoming from Keynes, Knox County. Been here since it was just Ollie. Which superstars from both companies have benefited most from a push in the No Fans era? I have to say, Cardona and Apollo. Apollo did, yeah, got the United States title, but man, Cardona lost his job. So I don't, yeah. I can't do that one.
Not really.
I mean, Drew McIntyre?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's benefited from it being no fans, but he has been pushed the most during the no fans era. Those two things are linked.
Peter Mullins, coffin dance, chopper. Coffin dance.
I'm not going to play the thing again. I was going to, but it's a bit too long.
Almanox, I can't wait till the Mr. Davis Kiss My Ass Club storyline. Let's just see how everyone behaves. And finally, Bacon Rasher, I wonder where Luke got the Wrestle Luke idea from. Chopper, is Wrestle Talk turning into a cult with Mr. Davis? P.S. Was Jam That Jam not Andy's thing initially? Look, I cherry-pick the ideas from the team I have assembled. That's my genius in assembling the team in the first place.
So I've got a really interesting email here, actually, from Lucas that I wanted to read out first. Mm-hmm. I know what the context is about, but it says, Wrestle Luke forever. And the email just says, down with the tyrant, Mr. Yeah. Davis. Wrestle okay. Luke forever. Yeah, today the revolution begins. All Swaff right. Nation assemble.
Yeah, that's... any other emails?
Let's see what other ones we've got here. We've actually got an interesting one from Devon. Says, aloha, guys. Maybe it's because I was so pumped going into SummerSlam and my expectations were too high, but at best, I'd give the pay-per-view 2 out of 5. And one of those points is solely because Roman is back. I named my son after the guy, so you know I'm a mark. The whole pay-per-view aside, I have a question for you. How is a backslide or small package protecting a character? Whenever anyone wins like that, it always makes me feel like, well, what was the point of everything before that? Especially when the loser kicks out on 3. If the small package or backslide is so devastating, why isn't there at least one wrestler that only shoots for the schoolboy? If the schoolboy is more protected than the F5, curb stomp or autumn punt at this point, why isn't everyone just doing that at all times? Much less effort and apparently can work when your opponent is fresh or their health bar is in red. In my very humble opinion, if the wrestling business is ever to be taken seriously, in quotation marks again, you've got to get rid of these stupid trickster finishes. And yes, I know this isn't a new problem, but getting back to SummerSlam, I don't understand most people giving it a thumbs up with such amateur finishes in the two big Raw title matches. Mahalo for reading the story, guys. Tune that tune, Devon.
What an interesting take. Thank you, Devon, for emailing that in. First off, if the your comment about the schoolboy not being as protected, why doesn't everyone use that finisher? Look at the 24/7 division. Everyone uses it all the time. It's how the title changes hands. Yeah.
It is.
But what did you, because I've explained why I love that finish. Just in case people haven't heard the SummerSlam review, Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre go 20 minutes. They try and hit all their moves. They never hit a finisher. Randy never hits an RKO. Drew never hits a Claymore. And out of nowhere, Drew just gets Randy into a backslide pin and wins. And for me, that is ingenious. That's kind of how wrestling used to be booked, where there was a winner there. There was a clean winner. However, I don't think that's definitive. I still think if Randy Orton managed to hit his move, he could have been in with a chance of winning. If Drew managed to win, like hit Claymore, he could have won more definitively. That's why I think it's a masterstroke in booking, because it is the perfect finish and story to set up the first chapter in a multi-match series, because both guys have arguments to come back. And yeah, it's a backslide because over a schoolboy, because the schoolboy is done to death. I think if it was a schoolboy, we'd all feel a bit differently about it. And, you know, Drew even added more context to it by saying in his promo on Raw that Randy's supposed to be the greatest wrestler in the world because he won the greatest wrestling match. I beat you with a wrestling move, mate. Love it. I loved it. How about you, Pete?
It's really interesting because I didn't hate it at the time. I was like, I guess that's the end. But the people I was watching it with did not like it. They didn't like it at all. They said that's such an anticlimax for a 20-minute match. Like, especially because it was SummerSlam. I think they wanted, this shouldn't be the first of a series. This should be SummerSlam. This should be a big kind of blow off. It's where big things happen. This is one of the main events of the show. It's a WWE Championship match. You should have a proper winner, I think is what they were, what they really wanted. I didn't hate it. I think it's just because we really like seeing either the Claymore or the Arkia, and we didn't see either. I was like, just want to see the Claymore, if I'm honest.
Does it make you want to see a match? Another match between them where that might be hit, though?
No, because Drew already won. That's what I don't get.
Like, just.
Exactly. So what was the... I agree with Devin. It's like, then what was the point of the match? Like, we're in the same position as where we started. The both of them are on kind of even playing field. And then at the end of the match, both of them are on an even playing field. So nothing's really changed, I guess, at the end. I don't know. If you're going to put them in a match, I think actually have a winner properly. But
it was a proper winner by the literal rules of wrestling.
Then they can't be on the same playing field as when they started. But apparently they are, because they've been protected in the finish.
But now Drew has the psychological one-upmanship of, I beat you at wrestling. Randy has to go to an even darker place, become even more heelish, which he hasn't actually done against McIntyre yet. He's done it to plenty of other people. And now, as we saw in the follow-up angle, Randy went for Drew's head directly, sent him to a local medical facility. So I would argue it did further the story.
And I guess
it did change character.
Yes. If it changes character, it just seems like Drew won. Orton doesn't have a claim for another championship match because he lost. He lost clean, so he shouldn't challenge again. But
that is a thing, but you can work around that with story. You know, Drew is now going to be like, oh, I need to get my revenge.
Yes. I guess it depends on the way they follow up with it, but I think it was because as well there were a few other booking decisions I didn't like that much at SummerSlam, but I was very much in the minority. People were like, oh, what a great show. I was like, I mean, it was okay. It was fine. There were some bits I just didn't really work for me. Like the Banks and Bayley stuff, I thought the actual spot of Bayley wouldn't take the same bullet like Banks did earlier for Asuka. For me, that just didn't work because the spot is exactly the same whether Bayley gets hit or not. Asuka still ends up in exactly the same position, so that just didn't make sense. It just made Bayley look smarter than Banks for getting out of the way.
But well, I think that was a botch.
It was. I just didn't get it. It was bad.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you were not that high.
Yeah, no.
What also's happened is it's the lockdown era. And it's WWE. So standards are low. And
that's true.
WWE just given us an almost entire pay-per-view card of clean finishes. Feels like quite a relief. It feels really satisfying. Plus, you still get that big, genuinely huge angle of Roman Reigns coming back. I had no idea that was happening. I love that. Well, but Devin said that he didn't like that happening.
No,
he named his kid after it.
No, it raised up a whole star rating because Roman came back.
Oh, right.
Went to 2 out of 5, but would have been 1 out of 5 if Roman didn't come back. And that's a very quick one because we do need to get out of here shortly. I was absolutely baffled at the amount of people said that Roman turned heel. I was like, Roman's been doing this for months, years. Yeah, he's been doing this. Wrestle talk. I was genuinely befuddled. Like, everyone came back, oh, he's such a good heel now. I was like, this is what Roman's done for months. How is this any different?
What do you mean for months? He hasn't been around.
You know what I mean. Since he's been around, since like Mania 33, this is everything he's done. He's been Roman. He hasn't been a face or a heel. He's been Roman.
I think there is a definite character change there, though.
I don't know.
I also genuinely did think in the moment, I got swept up in the heel turn because I was like, he keeps on hitting Braun Strowman. But we'll see. We'll see on the contract signing tonight.
I know. In my eyes, he beat up 2 heels. That doesn't make him a heel. Yeah,
double turn.
Totally. Anyway, we got to get out of here. Thank you for that email, Devin. Sorry we didn't get to more of them. We just got caught up in SummerSlam chat. But thank you very much for listening, everyone. We'll be back with more content. It's me and Adam Pearson tomorrow for SmackDown, because that's still on holiday. And then it's Payback on Sunday. There'll be a review of that on Monday as well. So thank you very much for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.